actually our third and final budget work session, and the first one was on the April the 20th, where we went over the general fund budget and proposals, and then on May 4th, we went over all the utilities, our enterprise funds, and tonight is our final budget work session, where our primary focus is going to be on the Berlin Fire Company Fire and Rescue, and then an EMS budget request. Then what will happen after tonight is on May 26th, there'll be a formal introduction of the budget. Then we anticipate, you know, you can't predict for sure, but then our goal is to try to have the budget adopted by the first meeting in June, which is June 8th, but it must be passed by during June by town charter. So I think that should bring us up to date on where we are. And whoever would like, one or more spokesmen would like to come forward and tell us what your requests and needs are.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Hickman.
How are you?
I'm wonderful, sir. You?
If you just
I'll just let you know who was here, so you know.
Sure.
David Fitzgerald, president of the company, joined me at the table during the fire company part. Be Mike Hickman, assistant fire chief. If you haven't heard, our fire chief had open heart surgery. He's doing well, but we do have assistants. We have a plate, you know, plan in place, all our bottles. So we have assistant chiefs and stuff to take over. So we're in good shape for that. Also, Bill Tillman, who's on the board of directors, past chief and past president. Mark Brown, chairperson of our board of directors, and Dave Bradford was here somewhere. He had to make a pit stop. He had to make a phone call.
Right.
He's on call. Right. He's on our board of directors, and past chairperson, walking in the door, past president as well. And then Mike Ellensworth, he's our EMS captain, so he'll come up when we do the EMS in case you have any questions. We'll start with the fire proposal. I think you all have the packet that we sent to Ms. Allen on Thursdays. We were requested. Won't try to bore you to read each thing unless you want me to. We'll kind of skim it, and then if you want to interrupt and stop me, that's how we've done it in the past. Sounds like that good? Just the cover page tells you what we're going to provide. Just let you know a little bit of history, and that we have, you know, a cadet program with 20 active members. We have over 60 dedicated volunteers, and last year over 15,000 hours of service with all the functions that we do. And that's estimated at a value of $400,000. If you go to the second page, that's the fire revenue and expenses. And as you see, we, just like any other business or municipality or government, our revenues and expenses do balance at $837,750. The next page is our revenue categories and explanations. Briefly, you know, we do depend on governmental funds. Our donations are subject to whatever the person wants to sign and write on the check. We do an annual donation drive each year to try to specifically solicit those funds for the fire company. We do perform fundraisers. They are certainly not as successful as they've been in past years with the economy. You're all aware of the fundraisers because we email them up here to Ms. Bolin, who's nice enough to put them in the newsletter. So I think you're aware of what we try to do on our own. Some are successful and some are not. Just to be honest with you, some of our fundraisers have lost money. We will tell you that. We try our best, and that's what we do. The state aid funds, those are from the state of Maryland. They are passed through the county and the town. There is a little asterisk there. There's a formula, and nobody can really put their hands on the formula. We've asked. But it is based upon similar, what we can tell you it's similar to is the maintenance effort with the Board of Education. So as the town and counties fund us, they take a formula and we receive funds passed through both either the county or the town. So when either of those funds are decreased, we don't get as much passed through. So you see, for example, since our budget back in FY12-13 was zero, the next year, FY13-14, we received zero state aid pass-through money. So we estimate that loss at $11,568 based upon past history. The county grants, that's a big part of our revenue. The county commissioners do it on a tax formula. Based on the tax assessment, we're all aware, because it affects your budget as well, about the decreased assessments. But the commissioners have been gracious enough the last few years, since it has fallen down into the 192,000 area, they have just done every fire company at 225,000. They've not changed the law, just to let you know, but they've increased those to 225,000. In addition, we get a stipend or a pass-through grant through the town of Berlin, $1,000 for the calls outside the town limits. So if it's the calls in the town limits, we don't get anything from the county for that specific emergency call for service. So there are some criteria, and that's the last page. There was a letter written to the mayor just reminding all the mayors and towns of the criteria. Part of that criteria is we have to do reporting, and we do that. We meet our criteria. Just reminds municipalities about their responsibilities. The town grant, we just put a summary in there. You know, we've come to the town for many years, since before I was in the company. They've come to the town, and they asked us to incorporate back. I'm going to date it back to, like, Ms. Holloway as the town administrator, to not come up and spring things, capital things, on the town, but to put them actually in the budget and create a capital fund, which we've done. And also allows leverage, you know, the money that's sent to the fire companies from the county and town leverages that state aid money. So the more of that comes in, the more state aid money we get. And I'll just kind of pause there. Any questions on how the money comes into the fire company?
I actually have a question on page two, David. The revenue and expenses, these are requested or proposed for 16, is that what this
2015, is? Page two, yeah. Up in the top right, should say 2015-16 fire revenues and expenses.
So coming fiscal year?
Yes, ma'am.
Right. So then if you look at the town grant, the $373,000, that's what you would be requesting from the town?
Yes.
And the other question is in both proposals, you've combined basically operating needs and any potential replacement needs of equipment all in one number.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep. And it's broken down. If you go down on page
that
two,
the new fire apparatus.
Yes.
275, and then the fire equipment is the 28,275.
That's for new fire equipment. And then just to maintain our fire equipment, it's $119,275.
Your present equipment.
Since Ms. Hall, I'll go through the expenses with you just kind of briefly. I won't hit on all the, I don't think you want to hear about utilities and telephones, but I kind of go through. Communications, that's about the fifth bullet point down. Just to let you know, the county is replacing, or they have a request for proposal out to change their radio system and update it. We have asked, and all the fire companies, they've asked the county for a one-for-one replacement. Those radios are $3,000-plus each. We have almost 100 of those radios. Mm-hmm. So if you take 100 times 3,000 and add some to it, that could be a potential expense over the next couple years. We are hoping that the county will do the one-for-one replacement. Been receptive so far, but we just wanted to point that out to you. The apparatus vehicle maintenance, that's just our general maintenance that we're required to do. As you see, as we get back a little further, we have an inventory sheet. It'll show you that our average age of our fire apparatus is 18 years age, some being over 30 years old. We're required to do annual DOT inspections, which is the Department of Transportation Safety Inspection. We elect to do quarterly inspections of our apparatus because of their emergency need and the way those vehicles are operated. Other just general routine annual maintenance, such as changing the oil, et cetera. They're required to have a pump test. We're required to have the ladders tested and the hose tested on those trucks. And that's required by NFPA, by National Fire Protection. And we follow those guidelines because that's what needs to be followed for the safety of our members and the safety of the responding public. Fire equipment, as Ms. Hall asked about, that's our specialized fire equipment, saws, rescue equipment, hoses, nozzles, etc. There's certain things that can only be used one time. A lot of people don't realize that. When a rope has strength put on it, a load put on it, it can't be used again. If I'm dangling from it, we don't want Mike dangling from it tomorrow. So that has to be replaced. A lot of things like the gear, it's mandated 10 years. It can be the prettiest set of fire gear you ever seen, the members washed it like they're supposed to and dried it, but if it's 10 years old, it has to be replaced. Fire hose, the same thing, it has a requirement. Anything prior to 1987 has to come out of service, and anything that fails a test. The next page, physicals in gym. Everybody's required to take a physical. Certain people have to take specialized, such as drivers and the breathing air pack people. Fire supplies, that's the general supplies that are used up, like absorbent kitty litter, if you will. The foam for firefighting, water and Gatorades that we keep on the trucks to keep the members hydrated. Those are usable supplies. And then the fire equipment repairs, that's when things break in our maintenance contracts. Our hearse tools, which are the jaws of life, those things have to be kept under maintenance contract. Our breathing air packs, all those, we have a contractor come in, you know, once a year and do the maintenance, so they're all under contract, and those are listed there. Volunteers and incentives, that's our category where we say thank you to our volunteers, or we say I'm sorry to our family for being away. Very small amount of money compared to the 15,000 hours and the number that even Mr. Stearns, Leslie, you know, double-checked behind us, over $400,000 of expense to pay those people at 15,000 hours. So we do things for our members. We have annual banquet. We started that back again. We have a family day. You know, we provide a ball cap and a T-shirt once in a while to our members. Not really under fire, but this week our EMS captains making sure that our EMS providers are recognized for EMS week. Things like that we do. And again, it's just a thank you, a simple thank you. Or we bring our family members in for a family day and have a good time so the family gets to come in and see what we do. All they know is we run out of the house. And now they get to come fire and see what we do, and have a lot of camaraderie there with our families. The cadet program, we've talked about that. That's very important. Started in the 90s. That's the future of the fire company. That's the next generation that's coming to replace us. The new fire equipment, that's new technology that's come about. We had an accident some time ago where our jaws of life, our hearse tools, could not cut a car apart. Because of the manufacturing metals are getting higher tensile strength. So we have to buy new equipment. It's not something new that we want to go buy, but it's something that's required by technology.
David, I had a question for you. So the fire equipment that's right above physicals and gym and the new fire equipment, what's the difference?
The fire equipment is just maintaining what we have, replacing... just, you know, broken axes and things like that. It's just maintaining what we have. Mm-hmm. The new fire equipment, for example, this year is those new hearse tools. Mike, what do you have there at the top there for new fire equipment? It's the, well, we said it's electronic. 28,275 hours of it is just that new hydraulic equipment to cut these new cars. I mean, it's embarrassing to have an accident. I wasn't there. I don't know if any of our members present were there. Have an accident and not be able to cut the car is pretty embarrassing. So that's new technology that we have to have.
So do I understand you correctly to say that the $119,000 would just be replacing existing equipment, but the $28,000 is like investing in new, like new technology or new ways of new equipment to do things differently?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, thanks.
No problems. All right, so new fire apparatus, that's the category that I think Mayor Williams and Ms. Hall were referring to about putting away the apparatus, and we'll kind of defer that discussion. We'll get back to another page and talk about that if we could. And then we've talked to you before about our building repairs, administrative areas, you know, 1965 headquarters building, and issues with the building. So that's what that category is for. And debt service is just where we put the Station 3 lease. It's just how Mr. Berge wants it listed. He's our accountant. So
the building maintenance and repair at the top of the list and the building major repairs and improvements, we're talking about the same building?
Same building, but you're talking about, we categorize that differently
categories.
Because it's a major repair, like to repair those floor drains, that's a single line item of $15,000. So we break it out, and especially so our members, when we present something at a meeting, they understand that's a major repair, that's not a routine. Buying toilet paper or what have you, that's a pretty major line item.
Okay.
That's the next page is the chart that the town asked so they can see the actual fiscal year 13-14, what's estimated. to June of this year, and then what we've asked for. The next few pages, we've talked before about, and we've presented this before, the fire call information. It just gives you, shows you a percentage of what the in and out of town calls are that's come up for discussion, so we wanted to provide that to you. As you see, from 2010 to 2014, you know, it's anywhere from a low of 36 to a high of 44% in-town calls. We did have to put a little asterisk there for 2014. We think those calls, that number, when you total those up, don't add up to our total number of fire reports for 2014, so we've asked a 911 center to review those. We're about 50 calls. They are indicating 50 less calls than we have. So we've asked them to go back and check that, so we want to let you know that. The next page is just the fire revenue. Shows the two major source of revenue are, of course, the town and county funds. So we just want to show you the percentage between those two. And then the next page, we compare the percent of calls to the percent of the revenue. So an average over 5 years, 36% calls in town, and the funding revenue is 27.84%. And again, we have to put an asterisk. We didn't put an asterisk, but that 2014 99 calls could be higher. We've asked the 911 center to review that. The next page is the estimated apparatus cash flow. If you start up at the top, the two asterisks, that's contingent on the release of the $150,000 from the town. The fire company would have, you know, approximately $776,000 in that account. And then we show what we put in the budget, as Ms. Hall asked, is that, where does that come from? That comes from that first page, 275, just carried over. So this is just like a running checkbook register, if you will, of what's projected for in and out. And, you know, we don't have the bids back for ladder six. One of our directors, Bill Tillman's on that committee. We won't get those numbers back until our meeting in June the 9th. We'll open bids up and we'll see what this apparatus is going to cost, but we estimate it'll be $800,000.
But that is your next piece of fire equipment to replace.
Yeah, that's the one that we're 3 years behind on. We should have done this 3 years ago. And so that gives you a running balance. As you see, 1 year, when you get up into fiscal years 2026 and 2027, slight deficit there. We think we can probably cover that through just timing of the purchase, timing when the revenue comes in at fiscal year. And then you see you get down to the bottom, you're at 731, so then the cycle just starts again. So we want to give you a whole cycle that's replacing all of the apparatus we have now, then you start the cycle again. The next page, briefly touched on earlier, it shows you all of the apparatus, the two in bold, which is the second line, the 1977 Mack ladder, 38 years old. I think some of you came up and took a tour, saw that apparatus. And then the 1988 Mack engine, which is in bold, it's about five more lines down. It's 27 years old. Both of those apparatus are still the open cab model, so that means the fire department responders that are sitting in the rear do not have doors, so they're in the open. And if God forbid we would have any accident, they would probably be ejected, even though there are seatbelts there. So that's definitely a priority for us. Safety is always number one in our book, safety of us as well as safety of the others. The next page is just a spreadsheet that, and these are estimates, and that's why we have to put the asterisk there, is you know, subject to change based on technologies, growth, demands of service, and, you know, so we could move those. Our chief engineers, we have a chief engineer and two assistants, then many other assistants who monitor the maintenance, and as well as all of our fire chiefs who monitor safety technology that's coming out. So those can fluctuate, but that's our best estimate.
You might ask if I know you've been running behind on the replacement of the Mack ladder truck. What is your best guesstimate as to when you'll be able to replace it? Do you think it'll be happening in the next 12 months or
next 60 days? Okay. We hope, because that's when we have the bids coming in.
Okay.
If we get the funding from the county and the town that we project in our budget, as well as the release of the money from last year's budget from the town.
Right.
Again, that spreadsheet would show that we would have sufficient funds in that account to make that $800,000 spent.
Because I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that we passed on through Laura that if you needed that money for, I guess, a down payment or...
And that's what we intend to do.
Okay.
When we set the bids out, because that's something I think Mr. Stern is going to talk about when he comes up, about a procedure if the town wishes to continue to not disperse the capital funds, there needs to be a procedure set up for encumbrances
and
what have you.
And you can see where we're coming from. If that helps you get the order placed and secured, mm-hmm. that would be preferable
right.
from us. And gives you some advantage with that money versus just putting it in reserves alone. This way, it's guaranteed to you the way. That money that's allocated this year is allocated forever as whatever a capital amount that we put up, a budget this year would also be there forever. It's
not accrue.
Yeah, and this is one of the dilemmas that we just want to let you know is that that's why we have trouble with formulas because, it sounds enticingly simple, but the thing is, from our town charter, and not only that, I mean, we cannot encumber future councils with budget items other than the transfer, like debt service. I mean, we do a bond, and that's got a whole other things about requirements and so forth. So that's why we're trying to figure out, and we might not figure it all in one night, but over time we're trying to figure out how we operate and how you operate so we can make them as compatible as possible, but at the same time, operate within the guidelines that we're held to. And, we can escrow money like that, and so that's the path we've chosen for now, so you can get, you're not thinking, will that be the same 150 next year? No. If it's 150, two, whatever it is, that's new money plus the money you have in the current budget. I just wanted to May take clear because I don't think we ever talked about it. So, okay, clear. Okay. Didn't interrupt.
No. We're just talking. We have a page that shows our designated or reserve funds, which are either designated by donor's designation, the fire company's designated by law, or reserve funds. That contingency fund, it was previously $200,000. The fire company has approved to reduce that to $150,000. We're going to have to put $50,000 that toward the new ladder truck that we've been talking about. The apparatus fund, we've already talked about that. That's the previous page. We do have some money put away in a headquarters building fund. That's funds that have been designated by the Berlin Fire Company membership toward improvements or repairs to the 1965 building. And that's things like that we know are forthcoming, like roof replacements. And we certainly have to start looking at adding on additions and what have you. So that's a starting point there. The Station 3 building funds, most of those are designated funds restricted by the donor. We've had some grants. We had a grant from Humphrey Foundation. We have Ms. Wimbrough, who's passed away, left money for Station 3. We've not transferred any money we received from the town. That's all been distributed as operating, or you guys have, like Mayor Williams said, off in another fund. It's county funds, donor funds, grant funds. We've stopped the project or put it kind of on hold pending some of these budget deliberations and getting our new budget for fiscal year FY15-16. But the estimated cost is for a basic building. Certainly not talking anything that's exorbitant, but just a basic building, with bays and storage, kitchenette, lounge, bunk room, storage room. You're looking at a $2 million building.
And this is something maybe it's a too, I apologize if it's too simple a question, but would you be transporting or transferring apparatus you have housed in either the main station or down in South Point?
We're leasing that building now. We're leasing a building mm-hmm. next to that, and there's already apparatus there. I would have to defer to the chief about rearranging apparatus. But there's already apparatus there, and we're renting a building, and that's just money.
Yeah.
That so rent money just goes away. I don't want to insult anybody from the public listening that rents, but rent money, you don't see any asset right. in rent money.
Yeah. But what we're saying, I guess I just want to be clear, is that because this is what I understand, but I this is the opportunity to ask, is that basically you have the apparatus that you would need at least initially to get started there, but so you don't have to get new additional apparatus, you just need to get the building up to.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the building's the priority, got to have something put in.
We'll probably have to get an ambulance there, right? That would probably be one of the first things you would need.
I don't think that's been discussed, that would be something operationally be discussed down the road. We currently do not have an ambulance at that facility. The ambulances are all kept here because this is where our career staff is. There's also things in those ambulances, drugs and what have you, that need to be monitored and inventory.
Thank you.
The last is that Senator, State Aid Senator 508 Amos Fund. We're going to use all that money you see there. That's got to go, that's part of that $800,000 expenditure that's going to happen to provide that truck. Because if you look at the little checkbook running register we had, it only had $775 in it. So there's where we're going to make up the difference to get that $800,000. The mayor, I think just a while ago, mentioned a formula. There's just an example of if the town wanted to look at a formula to give them a start of discussion amongst your staff, is that's the formula that the county uses, $1,000 per call with a base amount. So if you use the base amount of $225 and the in-town calls of last year, which we think is 99, is in dispute. It's still up for question. But right now the number is 99. So if you add those two, that would be 324. And we would say that's what need to be implemented after we catch up some of this capital from the last 3 years. Then we could look at the fire company and the town could look at implementing a schedule.
So you think this is all operational money is what you're saying?
Well, we would lump it all together to be operational, and that would be the total what you would give us if we did a formula. That would be it, and it would be our job to manage our money. Just like we do with the county funds now, we manage them, and we live with what we got.
What do you mean by implement after catch-up current capital funding?
Well, there's, if you look, we've got to catch up from the last 3 years, mm-hmm. where we, especially the 1 year where we got zero, we've got to run some numbers and with Mr. Berge and catch that capital because this is going to be a reduction. Like I said, we've requested this year $373,000. If you use the formula, it's $324. We couldn't take a reduction like that now until we get that capital fund somewhat caught up. So we would have to sit down and have a discussion with our accountant and come back, and I'm sure you guys would discuss with your financial people, come to a time where we'd want to implement this.
David, I've got a question. In your fire formula, I don't even know what page this is because there's no numbers, but it's the one that you came up with. Kind of looks like this.
Yep.
Are you suggesting that this is a formula that the mayor and council adopt of $225 as a base, then $1,000 for each call?
Well, we just simply showed you the county formula, and certainly it would be up for consideration and further discussion between the fire company and the town to come up with a formula, and because that's one of the things, it would make it such easier on us. I can't speak for everybody up there and staff, but I know from working with the county, and I know from the county, they love the formula because simply by the end of January, they know what they're going to fund the fire and ambulance, and you would know. You wouldn't have to wait for audits, wait for us. You take a base amount, you take the calls from 911 center, boom, there's your number. Plug it in and be ready to go.
Can you tell me what kind of calls represent the, I can't find, here it is, the 99 calls that are in town for calendar year 2014? What type of mix were those calls?
We could get a breakdown of what they are, but they are all emergency calls. They'd be motor vehicle accidents, house fires, car fires, any sort of emergency dispatch.
I mean, but nothing like a dog on a roof or anything like
no,
that.
No, not a public service call. No,
it's
no.
They're
emergency responses.
Yeah. Okay. Those aren't the EMS calls. That's on the other side.
These are the fire
EMS
calls, right?
That's another one.
And that's what the county, if you hear us, and maybe when I get an EMS, I refer to as a credit call. It's an emergency call for service. Just like if you look at the, we'll get to the, if we want to jump ahead to the very last page of the letter that was written to Mayor Williams, you'll see qualified runs in the middle underlined.
Mm-hmm.
Must be alerted for an emergency alarm, must respond and arrive on the scene, and public service calls are not eligible. So does that help answer your question?
You're 225, that's just based on when they realized the formula wasn't enough.
Wasn't enough.
So they defaulted up to a base number of 225.
Right. So we could, if we want to copy off the county, we could go by assessments. When there's good years in assessments and the town's getting a lot of revenue, of course, our expenses are going up as well in good years. That would go up. It would be our responsibility to manage our funds in good years to put money away. And you'll see that on AMLETS. If we hadn't put money away, as Mr. Stern's been reporting AMLETS, we've been in the hole for three years. Does that help you, Mr. Gordon?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's just simply, the next page is just the a summary of the last 3 years, what we've been funded, and based upon the old funding of 342. Some of the things that we've done, we've talked about the capital building projects have been delayed, the apparatus purchase that we've been talking about, ladder funds been delayed 3 years, which then puts us right back to back looking at another apparatus in the next 12 months, which we know is going to be hard to do financially. And we delayed some other purchases that are catching up with us because I've got a report from the hose company of how much hose has got to get ready to be replaced this year. So that's the fire company.
Does anybody have any questions for David regarding any of the fire company requests or numbers? I think everybody's pretty much asked questions as we've gone, which is the best way. But. Great. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
This was a lot of information.
All right. I'll wait for you to ask Kathy to come up. All right. For the EMS.
This is
Mike Ellsworth.
Mike. Thank you.
And basically the same thing, we provide you with a cover letter, let you know that we have, you know, three ambulances, the place to store the ambulances. We provide all the medical supplies and all the user daily equipment and the medical equipment that goes on the ambulances. The current staffing that we're proposing is a paramedic, an emergency medical technician 24 hours a day, every day of the year, and an additional paramedic from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. October to May, that's the winter coming into spring. And then this year, we've extended that in the summer from May to through September, 7 to 10, because we're getting more calls in the dinner and evening hours when the volunteers just aren't available. There's so much going on, we need to have that second paramedic at the fire station. And supplementing them, we still have many, many providers. Mike's one of them. I'm EMT, he's a paramedic. I was a paramedic over 20 years. We've got different ones that are behind
me.
So
how many full-time personnel have you now had to increase to?
Well, we now have, can I get to that a little bit?
Okay.
So I don't jump ahead?
Yeah.
The next page shows the 2015 EMS revenue and expenses that are projected, as Ms. Allen asked, on the fire side. It's 1.273,550, so over $1.2 million to run the EMS service. Then you get to the revenue categories. We don't get many donations, as you'll see, for the ambulance. Most people donate to the fire company. But annual donations, that's where we do the mailer that most of you, or all of you, should get in November, December. That's where we ask for a $40 donation / membership. You hear some people call it as membership. It's supposed to be worded as a donation. And what that does, it goes toward the copay or deductible of your insurance. And then you will not be balanced billed. The important thing to note is that has to be what they call fiscally tested each year. So we have to send to our billing company, who then sends it to Medicare, the amount of money we collect. They look at the amount of money we write off. If they say it's okay to continue, we're okay. If the numbers get skewed one way or the other, they'll say it's not what they call fiscally approved, and we would have to stop that program. And if we would have to stop that, you're looking at about $16,000 of revenue loss. So we hope that doesn't happen. The billing company monitors that, and we get a verbal yes or no at the end of the year before we mail out. The invoices, you see, that's different from the fire company. That's a different category. We do invoice our persons who are transported. It's important to note that they have to be transported. If we just go out and do a refusal or a public service call, there's no invoicing. It's invoice for a transport. A good example to show you, we can bill anything we want as far as a monetary number within reason. But for example, Maryland Medicaid pays $100. So your bill can be $300, $400, $500, $600, $700. You get $100.
Get
$100. So we're fortunate with a good company that our collections are good. But again, we can't cut off services. We don't go to a computer. We don't do what the town does with water, sewer, and electricity. We can't cut off service. So we have noticed a decrease in revenue since the Affordable Health Care Act. The deductibles are increased by ambulance. So we get the insurance payment. A lot of people can't pay their deductibles. So we have noticed a decrease in revenue since that's come into play.
Can you just write that off?
We just write it off. We try to send it to collection agency, but if you don't have anything, it's hard to get anything. Mm-hmm. And we have to watch if we go to start going to court with it, then somebody from the fire company, the president as the corporate officer, would have to go represent in court. So if it gets that far, if it's a large amount, they'll make a decision about if we're going to go to court and pursue it.
If it costs money to go to court.
If it's one ambulance bill, we're probably not going to go to court with it. The county grant, it's a formula-based system that we've talked about before. The late delegate Bennett Bosman, when he was county commissioner, was on the county commissioners. They created it. It was updated in the 2000s. And based, you know, periodically gets increased. This year the commissioners are considering an increase. Very small, at 3%, because based on cost of living. And it's important to note, just like the out-of-town fire runs, if it's an out-of-town call, our county run amount is reduced by 75%. So we get, for example, $177. If it's in town, four times that if it's out of town. So they reduce that grant because it's an in-town call, and it's decreased by 100%. We get zero if it's a refusal. If it's a refusal in the county, we do get that stipend. But if it's in town and a refusal, we don't get anything from the county. And we're not supposed to mix our finances up between fire and ambulance. All this that we're talking about are separate accounts. You know, it can be verified by Mr. Stern that all that money is kept separate. All of this EMS money is separate. The town grants, we started receiving funds back in the 70s when Mr. Collins, Clayton Collins, first paid person was hired. And then we went to this, it's going into what Ms. Hall asked, you know, went to additional providers as we went along, and we get to the expense side. I'll go through the summary of how the providers went up. And just what we noted at the bottom, again, we have to be good stewards of our money, good managers of our money at the fire company, because with that county grant formula, with invoicing, there's going to be bad years. There was a year, about 2 years ago, our runs went down. We certainly didn't lay paramedics off, didn't sell ambulances, because we know it's going to bounce back. And our invoicing and our county grants go down, so we have to be good stewards of our money. The expense categories, medical supplies, I just touch on those. Those are the single-use item, gloves, things we throw away. The career personnel, so to directly answer Ms. Hall's question, is everything in this category is everything to do with personnel, which is their pay, their benefits, insurance, retirements, training, workers' comp, uniforms, unemployment, payroll processing, everything in that category. And we talked about our scheduling a minute ago, and currently we have three vacant positions. The two full-time paramedic positions that are the second providers during the day are being filled part-time, and there is not an EMS employee supervisor working, a third daytime person working. So we started with one provider in the 70s, two in the 80s, and around 1988 went to four providers, then went up to six in the 90s, and 11 total in 2015. We've already been at 11 at one point, and we've just kept those vacant trying to save money. That always doesn't work. Example of this weekend, and Mike coordinates our schedule, had to have a person work a 36-hour shift Friday, Saturday. We've got a person work a 36-hour shift yesterday over to today. Today we don't have a second paramedic on duty. Part-time folks are wonderful, dedicated to us, certainly nothing personal. But they're not our employees full time. So you know, when their full time employer calls and says come to work, just like when we say come to work, they've got to go there. They have things come up at the last minute. We don't have a personnel recourse. So the part time, while it's good, we've got a budget for the full time people, as well as we've got to do something with our pay scale. We lost two of our people. That's why we have two of our openings. They've gone to other places for higher pay. So Mike's took the time, and we've met as an employment committee to look at our pay scale, and that definitely has to be adjusted to retain these people so we don't have more openings. So all that's included in that budgetary number. I believe it's $1,400,000 $45,600. That's the grand total to get everybody full-time back where they're supposed to be, the health insurance. And Mr. Fleetwood's here. Talk about health insurance increases. I'm sure that you all have. We're faced with the same ones that everybody else is. Volunteer incentives, touch on that. We do provide a stipend for volunteers to go on AMLETS, and the reason we do it for AMLETS and not fire is their specialized training and more time. You've got to come back and complete required paperwork, how you took care of the patient. That takes longer time, so we've been doing that a few years. It's important to note that those members are subject to tax when they accept that. They don't have to accept it. We offer it. They can certainly donate it back to the fire company, refuse it, take points on their LOSAP. But if they do go over the 600 hours, they are subject to the 1099 tax regulations. But it does provide a little incentive to go on it.
You skipped training, and I think you should explain that, you know, everybody, including the volunteers, needs to be recertified and keep current, and that costs money, right?
Yep, Mike can tell you the training hours of what.
Yeah, it does cost a lot of money. The paramedics have to recertify at 96 hours every 2 years is required for recertification, and emergency medical technicians, the basic level, has to recertify at 24 hours over a 3 year period. We offer training in house. We also like to send, especially the paramedics, out to advanced training, advanced airway training. Advanced skills that aren't offered at the basic level that they learn on initial training. So it is very expensive for them, especially the paramedics, to keep up their level of training, but also the basics. We have a class once a month at our firehouse, and most of our EMTs at least attend that to get their required hours. So in 3 years, they're not scrambling trying to get their hours. So they do put a lot of time in just for training to keep it up.
And then the building maintenance repair, I think some of you came through the firehouse and took a tour, but as we've said, we did add on to the building in 1991. Matter of fact, I was one of the employees when they added on, and that was when we had a single provider, just one of us. So that bunk room was built for one person, and now we're cramming three in there. There was also not because it was one person, not a place for different gender, male, female. So we run into some signaling issues, you know, when there's male and female working, you gotta make sure nobody walks in on somebody, and especially if they're working 24, spending the night, what have you. So that creates an issue for us. So that's why we have money put away, and we're trying to look at what our options are as to rearranging those bunking facilities, as well as administrative. They've got to have computers now. Before, it was just you could take the run sheet. Mm-hmm. Sit anywhere, sit in the engine room, go outside and sit on the front bench and do your paperwork. Now it's all computers, so they've got to be in front of a computer that needs to be attached to a good network.
Can I touch on that?
Yep.
On the bunk room issue, I don't know how many toured and actually looked at the bunk room, but they sleep, cook their dinner, sit and eat their dinner, and have a bathroom right around the corner, all in a space maybe half the size of your podium up there.
Yeah, it's pretty small.
And on the other issue we have is a third person that we want to provide. We provide only until 10 o'clock. One of the reasons, one was funding, but also the second reason was we don't have the adequate facilities to provide living quarters for a third person 24 hours a day. And that definitely puts us back, because we definitely are in need of a third person 24 hours a day, but we're set back not only with the funding, but also with the space to adequately let
them. You really need two bunk rooms, one for female,
absolutely,
one for males.
The next category on the next page is medical equipment maintenance repair. And again, just similar to the fire, all of these things need to be under contract. These heart monitors and stuff, they need to be calibrated, the breathing machines, et cetera. So that's the category that covers that. Insurance, just I think it's self-explanatory, need vehicle insurance. And on the ambulance side, we have to have medical malpractice insurance as well. The new medical equipment, and that's some of the things that we've inventoried, and like the Panasonic Toughbooks, they were purchased in 1988. Familiar from reading your minutes that you've been through this up here with the Windows XP computers and need to replace them. Well, we're down the same road. We've got to get those out of there. We use those for patient reports. We use those for transmitting stuff out of the heart monitors. The next thing in the new medical equipment is the video laryngoscopes. And that's a scope, so you can see down somebody's throat, so they can place that tube a lot quicker and get airway to that patient. Like Mike said, that's the advanced airway training, and you need that device so they can do that much, much more efficient. The replacement ambulance fund, we started that again. You've heard me talk on our planning. We started that back in 2004, prior to that, we just didn't, I'll be very honest, we didn't have a set scheduled replacement for ambulances. Just when somebody spoke up, like the chief engineer, said, hey, this ambulance is breaking down a lot, we ought to look at buying it. Then we're scrambling for money. We've got a spreadsheet that's coming up in here. 10 to 12 years. Can't go by mileage because these vehicles run idle. Can't always go by hours. Technology, safety, especially the safety technology that comes up in these ambulances, as well as the medical technology to handle new medical equipment. 10 to 12 years, they need to be replaced. We were putting $60,000 a year for a goal after 10 years to have $600,000 in the bank to start replacing those year after year. We've stopped those transfers back in fiscal year 11 and 12, and that's created a deficit in the account. So for 3 years now to catch it up, we'd have to put $100,000 away and then maintain it back to $70,000 because the ambulance costs have gone up since we started this in 2004, 12 years ago. There's also been a need identified for an EMS utility vehicle. As you know, Mike said, there's advanced things. We've heard about the call volume, which we'll get to next in here. Is a lot of times the third provider needs to go out or the volunteers need to go to an ambulance call. Right now they're parking either an ambulance on the side of the road or one of our fire utility vehicles that has specialized equipment on the side of the road. What happens when we get a next call and we need that ambulance? Mm-hmm. Well, it's parked on the side of the road and the crew's all at AGH, so we run into a problem. So just a basic vehicle, emergency equipped, also four-wheel drive because we're having these snowstorms. We're not the Midwest, but we are having these snows more frequent. The next page is the town spreadsheet that requested for the three-year analysis between actual estimated and what we're requesting. And then similar to your fire packet, the in and out town calls, as you see, they vary with a low of 56% back in 2010, a high of 60.09% in 2011. So it gives you, we certainly do have more calls in the town limits than out, and the more that annexed and like the development that's coming, those numbers are just going to go up for in town. The revenue, same thing, we show you the revenue versus the expense. So typically the revenue for the ambulance from the town is running that 20% range. You see sometimes it's lower, been drastically low the past 4 years. We've projected it this year to be 22%, again, trying to get it up so we get those reserve funds. And they're not really reserve funds, they're planning funds for the ambulance. So we show you those categories. The next page is the apparatus replacement fund and schedule, similar to what you had for the fire company, just again, a checkbook register, if you will, cash flow, whatever word you want to put to it, shows what we have now. Shows the anticipated expense in this fiscal year of an ambulance and the utility vehicle, what we would put in if the budget gets approved here and with the county. And then again, shows two replacement cycles, showing you that at the end of two replacement cycles, you're right at $38,000 and you're starting to build again. Previously, you know, that we were putting that $60,000, $65,000 away, but that's not going to work anymore. These ambulances have gone, exceeded the $200,000 range. And again, that 10 to 12 years, again, that's industry standard. Some people hold their ambulances longer. If they've got 10 or 15 ambulances, they might hold some a little longer, but we've already got three. DMS has a building fund that we established, as Mike alluded on, and we've talked about before, and those of you toured the firehouse, so we don't have to keep beating on the bunk room deal to decide, you know, where we need to do that facility. And then the salary contingency fund that's there. There is payroll liability that's not really budgeted in our books or shown on our balance sheets, but we do have a payroll liability. If recruit hours, if employees leave, and we do get shocked when employees leave and they get that great big paycheck, if you total, if all of our employees would leave, that would be what it is. And then we would just have a balance, as you see, at 1,045,000, that 321 is only about 4 months' salary, so that would keep us going for about 4 months. We hope nothing drastic happens to EMS billing, but we didn't know. We didn't know what an Affordable Care Act would do. We were kind of nervous then. So again, we try to be good stewards of our money, because if we go to a formula-based system with the town and the county, We know it's our responsibility during those lean years to make sure we've got money's put away, and that's what we do. Some funding formula options, just again to throw out there. I think that's part of what we've talked about a couple times and was talked about at the strategic planning meetings with the citizens, is come with some sort of formula. We just show you two formulas there. The first one is just the percent of budget equal to number of calls. If we run 57.66 calls in town, whatever 56.766 of the revenue is, that would be the number. If you want to copy off the county formula, that shows you the county formula of ambulances, personnel, in and out of town, non-transports, and transports, and that shows you that number. I did note the only thing we didn't put in the county funding is they pay mileage to PRMC. It's a minuscule amount. We're talking less than $500 a year, so I didn't take the time to calculate all that. But you see the numbers, and as Mike said, in our budget, we've showed you the staffing level, but definitely if we get the bunk rooms and things straight, having that third provider 24 hours is needed. The town's growing, the calls at night are increasing, et cetera. And the last page just shows you the previous funding in past years provided and what the town's this year and the things that we've done. We've not transferred the money into the ambulance replacement fund. We've got three open full-time positions and again the capital project. So that gives you a summary of the EMS proposal to provide the services in the community.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for either Mike or David regarding the EMS budget request? I think it was very, very thorough on both presentations, and I think we got more out of this presentation than anyone we've ever had in the past. So I know somebody, no, no, but David, but a lot of somebody did a lot of work here.
Mayor,
and
I did have a question.
Sure, certainly.
So, how many under career personnel, how many personnel are we talking about? You may have said it, and I may have missed it.
I didn't hear your question.
Career personnel for EMS, how many positions are we talking about?
The 11 full-time positions.
You may have said that.
Yeah, that's okay, 11. And we have 11 positions on the schedule now, but three of them, one is totally vacant. Nobody is working Monday through Friday.
Uh-huh.
And two of them, the two day shift positions that are in the summer, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., and in the winter, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., they are being filled by part-time people. And we're struggling, not because of the people. I don't want it to get out of here that the people, it's just their commitments are otherwise, at the last minute sometimes, they happen.
And you don't have a supervisor either, right?
That's the Monday through Friday daytime position.
And that hurts
that creates
too.
Part of that second crew.
Correct.
And eliminates what Mike's had to do over the weekend, what I've had to do, you know, with him calling me to make sure the community is protected, the things that the decisions that the employment committee has to make. We're all volunteers. He's working how many hours he works. I know I work 50 hours a week.
They don't have a support either of a supervisor, which puts more on them too.
Yes, ma'am. But the only thing closing, you know, I know John Stern's going to give you a report, and I met briefly with him on Friday. You know, we mentioned this at our meeting at the firehouse, is again, when you look at the cash flows, and I think he'll mention it, but I did want to touch on it, you know, the cash banking balance, he's looking at things that are 5 months old. You're looking at things that are December, and we do a lot of expenses in the last quarter of the year. You know, our retirement matching is not done until the last quarter, so when you look what he reports to you, cash in bank, he and I sat down and we whipped out over $400,000 that's going to go off that quickly, and if that truck's bought, there's another $800 going to go off that. So just wanted to point that out, and you know, we have some retirement liability that we're closing out through the state retirement system as well, and we don't know. We should know what that is. We've been working on that as well.
And your truck, except the one that got, rescue truck that got damaged, I'm sure insurance is covering that, but that's probably causing some additional costs that you weren't planning on.
Yes, ma'am. Operational issues. I don't know if Chief Hickman will say anything about that, but it is fully covered by insurance. Yes, ma'am. And we are fortunate. When we do our insurance, we do replacement value and things like that. So our insurance is covered. The operational aspect is the issue. And, of course, it could not happen at a worse time of summer. We have borrowed a apparatus from the county fire training center. They don't need it through the summer because VOTEC's not in session. So That was fortunate because they don't have VOTEC in the summer, but that'll need to go back, you know, as fall comes. So hopefully the truck won't be gone that long, but it's a lot of damage to the vehicle. And again, we safety, somebody questioned sometime about number of vehicles we have. That's why we send 2 and 3 vehicles to that call. I wasn't there. Mike was there earlier. I was there later. That vehicle saved lives that day while that crashed up a very expensive vehicle. If it wasn't parked there, we would have had, I'd hate to say we'd had plenty of funerals to go to, because those members and the state police trooper, as well as the people involved in the first accident, that car would have run right into them. Mm-hmm. So that's why we take multiple vehicles to stage them back. If anybody's going to hit anything, and Mr. Williams, you work for State Highway, you know those vehicles with those foam things on the back. That's why we stage them back, and that vehicle did save lives that day.
It's sort of a sad irony that work zone safety and emergency zones are actually more dangerous than they've
than
ever
anything.
Been.
Yes,
it's just, yeah, it's a human nature, and somehow with the greater technology becomes, the less people seem to pay attention to what's going on the road. And that's a classic example there. Of course, you had the weather conditions, but still, there's no way anybody should have been traveling that fast.
Thankfully.
All right.
Thank you guys for what you do.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the very detailed presentation. Alrighty. So, next we'll have John Stearns to come forward, who's known to probably everybody in the room here, but John is the principal for PKS and Company accounting firm, and he, his firm for many years has been the, through competitive bidding, has been the firm that does the audit for the town of Berlin, and for the last, I'll say, a couple of years, also for the Berlin Fire Company and EMS services.
So, Mayor, Council, guests, I'm pleased to present the draft of the audit. I think you all have a copy. David and I have reviewed this. In addition to that, I've given a snapshot, but I want to make sure the snapshot does not confuse where we are, because the snapshot combines both restricted and unrestricted funds. So I'm going to start with, in the draft audit, it is a clean opinion. Thank David and Jay Berge for their help in getting this done a lot earlier than we did in the previous year. But if we go to page 3 to talk about where we are, the assets of the company, of the fire department. Total assets are $5.6 million compared to $5.3 last year. One of the differences, if you look at the top, it says due from Town of Berlin. That's the $150,000 for the equipment. We did put it in here. There was some question whether it should be. The opposite side of that is down below in a liability called deferred revenue. We did not include that in their revenues for this year since they did not have use of the funds. And that being said, I think David's kind of right. We have to document this program. And there's money in a bank, and there's some interest being earned, and I think there's little things we need to dot our I's, cross our T's, to make sure they feel comfortable with the process. Mm-hmm. Going down to, well, you know, the net assets and the invested in property and equipment changed a little. That's mostly through depreciation. Every year there's $200,000 depreciation. The designated funds are the funds by the internal group of the fire department and the EMS department, who have allocated funds for the future. And then the undesignated is $500,000. On page 4, we break down the revenues and expenses between the unrestricted and the temporary restricted. We have not broken down the fire department versus EMS in here. In total, there's a lot more donations going than temporary restricted, and that is for building firehouse number 3. And so that has increased that temporary restricted fund to $548,000, which temporary restricted means that when the money is spent for the firehouse, and that money will be released and be into the fixed asset section of the balance sheet. In the unrestricted, our revenues were $1,772,000. Our expenses were $1,690,000. The net difference is $81,000, maybe $2,000 to the good. For those in business, that's kind of like a surplus or a profit. part of the expense is just depreciation, but that's important. That replaces, you know, you need to put money away for the future, and some people call it funded depreciation. The next page, on page 5, is a breakdown of the expenses, the functional expenses, with the fire company EMS both in there, but I'll focus on the total. And as you can see, the total expenses went from $1,557 at the bottom to $1,690 in the 2 years. A large portion of that increase comes from the equipment repair and maintenance. As equipment gets older and different things, and replacement of the smaller items that we're talking about in hoses and nozzles and different items like that went into there. That was the biggest increase, and payroll went up only by $25,000 in total payroll related cost. Next page is a cash flow, and again, this is kind of a combined one, and it says the cash increased by $354,000, and David had mentioned that. Keep in mind, and this is in both years, it's not just in this year. The county gives them the money in the beginning of the year, and it's got to last throughout the year. So 6 months, we got more than 6 months of revenues and not all the expenses, but that's been in both years. So there's a lot of money to be spent in the next 6 months to June 30th. That being said, at some point in time, we might want to consider for continuing with the audits, that we do the audits as of June 30th, just like the fire department, keep it in the same line as the 990 and different things. And that might help a little bit. Then we're all dealing with the same number and don't have all these things. There's a few items outstanding on the draft, none of which I think will cause any change in the numbers of a significant nature. In talking with David at the end, he explained to us that they did have a contingency, is that we've noted that on page 11. That they have some items of retirement from some time ago that they might need to pay. We weren't sure if we should book a liability or not. We don't know. They don't have a real number, so we have not booked it, but they do have an outstanding contingent liability, depending on what happens with that. In the deferred revenue, you can see that 250 of this town, and which is the 150, plus the $100,000 that will be due in, I think, this period of time. So, and with that, that is the audit. I'm not going to cover the auditor's communications, as David and I are still talking about a few items. There is a draft, and we might change a few. He's discussing with Jay Berge, and hopefully we'll have this all wrapped up real soon. We'll have a representation letter that David will sign. And then we'll go from there. The abbreviated is a combination of all of those. Sometimes a picture is worth 1,000 words, so we put some graphs in there to show what the expenses have been over the years. From there. Cash and certificates of deposit, again, it's restricted. Restricted is growing. The restricted cash is growing because of the Station 3. Any questions? I know that was fast, but it's clean. It's not much different than last year. Mm-hmm. Some expenses are up. Revenues were relatively, the biggest revenue, I guess, was our coming through with funds for them last year. And then we still have 150 sitting there that's not recorded as revenue here. And with the advent of an $800,000 apparatus, I think you'll see that used very quickly.
Do you want to go through your...
No, that's why I said that's combined. I don't want it to be misleading. I like to break it out. Okay. But it's very much the same, and it tells you on page... If you go to the third page of the net assets of how it's broken out for temporary restricted net assets, mm-hmm. which is really outside restrictions. David mentioned a grant today that I have not looked at, and maybe it's not a real grant. It's just a gift, but I'd like to look see what that is. And then there's the designated, and this is where internally they have designated funds for Station 3, the contingency reserve, and I think a lot, and the apparatus capital replacement, which I think you've seen in their presentation also. And then EMS is very much the same way, the salary contingency, building capital reserve fund, and EMLANS. So in total funds, there is in reserve funds is $2,145,000 versus $1,936,000 last year.
One thing I guess we'll have to, like I mentioned earlier, is trying, and I don't think we'll be get it all done in one cycle, but one of the things we have to are trying to deal with is the fact that at least historically, based on the way our legal obligations are to the town charter and all that goes with that, is that, and if you, I don't expect you to have to answer right off the top of your head, but what if we do, if we're able to come up with a formula of some sort, how we balance that with the fact that that hopefully can be a very good guide for every mayor and council after that, but I'm not sure how we get they then have to approve it every year. Mm-hmm. I guess it's like yearly renewable insurance or something. And so it's just something that I want you to think about, because it's a catch-22 for us.
Steve and I had that discussion. He had some concern about that. You can't obligate the future council.
But we want to make this simpler.
Yeah. Well, possibility to do a joint bank account with the fire department requires two signatures, one from this, and you put it in there, and it's a joint bank account. It's already on yours as a liability, I believe, and we put it on there as an asset. It could be a joint account. And, all right, we need this, and somebody, the town administrator, and them sign off. Say, okay, that's good. This is what we say we would do, and go down the line. Because you want to make it simple, but you want to also make it believable that, you know, somebody else can come in after us and you and say, we're not doing that. We'd lose a lot of, I think, goodwill that you've developed over the year, you know, trying to build with the fire department. Mm-hmm. And that's a concern of theirs, too.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah.
But like I say, we just have to keep working on it, because at least it's very helpful to have 2 years that are back-to-back, that are basically, apples to apples and all those kinds of things, and it shows it's much better, easier to understand than 3 years ago.
Well, it's a building process, something you didn't have before. The really good thing is we got it done quickly. I think last year we were in September, October. Mm-hmm. It wasn't pretty.
And I would say that would be, and again, because I do think progress is being made. Yeah. I do think that it will help any mayor and council. And you mentioned a difference in the fiscal year, but our internal budget process really gets rolling in February.
Right.
And then by March, a lot of the hard internal crunching is done, and then for all the what I call the necessaries,
you need to be done before June 30th.
Yeah, and so if there's a way, all of us working together, we can get this information earlier and still be comparing apples to apples, because we're talking about the two biggest line items in the budget. And I think everybody recognizes that now. I'm not sure it always was known. But we can't wait till now to start the budget. Start the budget, and we have to hear all the requests and everybody. And some of the stuff has to be planned, and it just would be another step forward if next year we are at this point earlier in the process. Then that gives us more latitude and more flexibility before we have to make all kinds of other obligations. And I just, throw that out. It's nobody makes it that way. It's just life. The timing, we can't wait this for the whole budget process to start it. Ironically, this is our last budget work session. In an ideal world, and hopefully what I hope we can all work out, is next year the first budget session would be this one, work session, and then we would go into the others. It would be, to me, that's the way. It would be advantageous for everyone, and because once you get the big items done, then it becomes an easier process. Right now we're trying to restore the balance.
We get some agreement going. There is no reason why we, if we had the information, I know it put some pressure on maybe Jay, but at the end of 12/31, you're done. I mean, if we could get in there in February, you should have this by March.
Okay. Right. And again, we're not trying to make it hard on Jay. If anything, if everybody has the same expectations, I think that would help.
Yeah.
We all know what we're expecting from each other, and that it makes it actually easier for us to meet requests.
Mm-hmm.
And I just you know, point that out. I'm very pleased with the progress that's been made. This is it's much clearer what's being asked and why. Now, if we can just keep working on this process so that we haven't got the tail wagging the dog, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hopeful. We'll just tackle her and see what we can do. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Stern regarding any of the solid information?
Very simple. Thank you.
Try to make it simple.
Yeah,
no. He's scaring us.
No, I got to tell you, sometimes some statements, and I think more so in the government end, after I read them, I'm lost by the time I get to the end. At least these I can understand really straight.
Good.
I tell you that right out.
Well, please, can you and Jay talk about that? And
yeah, we got a few more things,
and
David.
Fire company folks, they talk about the among themselves and all that. But I do think that we can make even more progress if we just get started.
Communications are good.
Yeah,
better than they've been.
Good. Excellent. Anyone have any questions? Okay.
No.
And I pray. Thank you very much. And Natalie, did you want to bring us up?
A few.
Yeah.
She just wanted to go over.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you all for coming. Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thanks,
guys.
Thanks.
Good evening.
Hello. You will find a printout of general fund, not entire budget for fiscal 16, but just general fund. And I will not be touching the enterprise fund since we don't have any changes since our last workshop session.
Okay.
On general fund, on your printout, if you go to the very last page, and I'm just going to point out on additional items and what changes those items created in fiscal year 16 budget, which basically we don't have just a few. All of the items that have been added are in connection with the Tyson property. And the original workshop budget contained the purchase of the land per our appraisal and the contract of $2.5 million. After evaluating the services required for the Tyson property project to move forward, we've estimated that we will have a Tyson feasibility analysis of $30,000 to be added to this capital project.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, Tyson environmental study and cleanup program, additionally of $30,000 estimated to be added. And since we're going to proceed with financing this project, our bond counselor or professional services that will require to proceed with the financing the capital project will be probably estimated at $15,000.
Am I not correct? Is my memory serving correct? Ironically, because of the appraisal, the reduction in the appraisal is almost exactly the cost that we need to do to actually to do it. So it's kind of like one offset the other, and
right.
We're right back to the same number.
So
I just want to make sure.
You're correct. All of those items will be eligible to add to our capital project in the future, so they're all going to be capitalized.
That's great.
The only difference we have is we've discussed that the actual 2.5 will be financed. The remainder of it will be paid our reserves. So the number that you see above of 529,500, that's our prior year surplus or the reserves, and we carry this.
It's 75. The 75.
Well, it's an increase of the difference, but the total prior year surplus on the very top under the revenues
mm-hmm.
of 529,500. That's the change number that get carried to the revenue side of the general.
Is that, and that is taking into account these additional costs?
Correct.
Okay, so that's the new net number for prior year surplus is $529,500.
Exactly.
Okay, that's good news.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's the only changes we have since the last item. And of course, with that, we have a different total fiscal year 16 budget proposed for the general fund of, if you look at page two, on the very bottom of 9, 6, 12, 6, 20.
Where is this now?
It's the page two of your printout. It doesn't have a page, but if you count page one and then go on to page two.
The general fund, right?
The general fund only. It's kind of in the dark blue number.
Oh, okay. That's how I see it. Really, the bond loan proceeds end up being almost like a pass-through. It's in and it's out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty, for the most part, almost immediately. Okay. And then the residual effect is the interest payments, interest and principal payments for the next. How many years is that? You think that will?
The main project probably going to be 30 years, most likely.
Okay.
And if there will be any additional construction involved, it depends on the life of the building or per se what's
been done. Okay. Yeah, there's so many variables there. Well, we won't really know those variables until we get into the results of the feasibility study.
Right.
It's just there's so many different options. It's just guessing, but at least we're making progress.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the only changes I have for the general fund.
That's okay. Yeah. Good. No, good. I mean, none of this is shocking, surprising, worrisome. It just pins it down better. Yeah, great.
These are great. Everybody that
good. Good. Does anybody have any questions for Natalie regarding her presentation tonight, or anything else that happens to be on your mind or you thought of since we last got together?
And if you will, just email me.
Yeah.
That's another
thing. If something occurs to you, you know, you're work or driving down the street or whatever, just stop. And then email.
I was waiting for that.
Stop. Then send her an email, you know. Because, you know.
Stop.
I know myself sometimes.
Sometimes you get home and think, why wouldn't I ask that? Yeah.
Yeah. And so just when you know, that's always, especially during the budget process, because it's a lot to absorb at one time. Good, but I think we're on schedule.
Yes,
I think we're making progress.
Putting all the puzzles together. Yeah. Pieces, yeah.
Good. Do you feel comfortable so far with the way everything's come together? I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
I'm good.
Okay.
If
okay.
I'm not, I will let you know.
Yeah. You let me know. Let Laura know.
Yeah. You see, you're almost to the end, right? Yeah. You'll be glad when we vote on this, right?
Good. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Laura, does anybody else have anything you want? Anything we need to go over?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, and I did want to ask about the letter.
I didn't know if you wanted to discuss it now.
Yeah, well, I think this is fine.
Yeah. I did distribute them electronically, but I didn't make hard copies.
Okay.
If you want me to step out for a second and make hard
well,
copies,
well, I'll tell you, let me ask her, and then we can, and then what we'll do, I'll just talk about it, and then we'll just give everybody a copy. This is a letter. It's actually the same letter, but one's addressed to Howard Shribnick, the president, of the Worcester County Library Foundation, and the others to Irene Padilla, the Assistant State Superintendent for Libraries. And I guess I want guidance and approval, if you agree, is since their presentation was made, I guess at last meeting, mm-hmm. right? The library last meeting, mm-hmm. is right after that, Howard, I think, is the one who contacted us.
Howard sent me an email.
And it sent it to Laura that they need, if we're going to do the commitment, they just need a letter of intent. I think that's the proper word for it. If we're going to do the $75,000 grant, because that allows them to immediately proceed in contacting the Humphreys Foundation, but more importantly, to contacting the state, where they can begin to leverage this money for what is ultimately, $400,000?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a timing issue. So if you feel comfortable with that commitment, it gives them a much better chance of getting in the front of that line for that state money versus the end of line. Am I explaining
that's
this
correct.
Properly? I think I am.
And I want to add to that,
sure.
That I also looked up to be certain the other municipalities and what they've done in the way of the libraries, and they have all donated land for mm-hmm. the libraries to be built upon. Personally, I think $75,000 is not a huge chunk comparing to what Snow Hill, Pocomoke, Ocean City, and Ocean Pines have done, because I totaled those amounts up and they're astronomical.
Okay.
So are you looking for a motion on this?
Yeah, well, I personally.
To send these letters?
Yeah, that would be, that would probably be the best because it would be for the record.
I'll make that motion that we approve that with the funding contingent that Laura and I had spoken about earlier this week as to how that's supposed to be done. But I'll make that motion that we do that in compliance with the way that it needs to be and get those letters out to those folks.
If I could just follow up on what Tom's talking about, the timing is such that they need a commitment by June 1st. Budget adoption's not scheduled until June 8th. If you are amenable to the commitment letters, the other thing we'll make sure that's in here is $75,000 contribution to the library. So that would be in the budget at the time that
it would be there. You know, what this is basically, and I'm not worried about this part, but it's basically saying it is our honorable intent to follow through on the commitment for the $75,000 grant. And the reason we're being asked for this now is just because of the nature of bureaucracy. We don't want to make the grant and then them not be able to leverage it to the full extent that they could. And I appreciate your background there. It is interesting that that property has been up and down for years, possibly almost on the verge of being sold, and then I think it worked out for the best possible
Absolutely.
Use for everybody.
Absolutely.
And, it's one of those things where everybody won in the end. Probably the property didn't get what he originally expected, but who does these things, right?
Absolutely.
Well, we have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the two letters of intent, one to the Assistant State Superintendent for Libraries and the other to the President of the Worcester County Library Foundation, that the town of Berlin intends to commit $75,000 to match the $150,000 grant award made by the Humphreys Foundation for the new library. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And does anybody want hard copies? You do? We'll run them off.
No.
Okay, all right. I think we're done.
Okay.
A couple of prayers.
I would like to make one announcement.
Okay.
Sure. As I was late tonight because I attended my board meeting at Shore Up, and we voted Laurel as a board member tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, great.
But the only problem is she's going to have to put up with me.
Yeah, we knew there was a downside somewhere, right?
No, that's great.
And I didn't know she was, she knew Mike Hoy because I've been knowing him for years. He's been with Delmarva Power for 47 years.
Yes, I've got it.
And I asked him, I said, what did you tell her to convince her to be on the board? He said, well, I told her that we have dinner meetings.
And that's smart. Hey, say hi to Mike for it, because I haven't seen him in a while. I really haven't. We used to run into each other once in a while, but just say hi, because I always enjoyed working with him when he was with Delmarva. That should be good.
Thank
Congratulations.
You.
Thanks for
the was it Jeff Vicka? Who got hurt in the accident?
John. John Brittingham?
Yes. Yeah. Is he doing okay?
He's good.
He's good.
Yeah, I talked to him today. He's recovering nicely.
Good. Just, man, it's amazing that because we're talking about the. Talking about earlier, it's just getting more dangerous out there all the time.
It's true.
It's a self-inflicted problem.
Oh, that's for you.
Mostly, it's more distraction than anything else. Distraction, pressure,
something new.
You're right.
Okay. Well, thank you. Now here's a whole.
Hey, Elroy, take one of these. take these pictures, take a couple of them, get this out in the community. This is going to...